You know, at a young age, I question was always rising up in my mind, what is God going to do with me? If I give myself to God, what's he going to do with me? And every year people will wonder, what is my life going to be like this year? At different seasons of life, you know, you're always leaving and entering seasons of life. You always ask the question, well, I wonder what this season is going to be like. Is God going to be good to me? Is God going to do something? What's going to be on his agenda? And we hold God so responsible. And the enemy of our souls, Satan, right from the Garden of Eden up till today, continually tries to get mankind to blame God for everything that goes wrong and to not trust his word. As you look through the Bible, there's some incredible verses, and I want to talk to you about them, because if you do not get this message, you will never know faith. Oh, you'll talk about faith. You'll maybe even be able to believe a little bit. You might be able to see some sporadic miracles. But to live by this tenacious, trusting faith that just, the Bible says, overcomes everything in this world. You'll never know what it is until this faith, which what faith is this complete trust in the finished work of the cross and what has already been won for you and I. And so many people don't trust God. They don't want to admit it. Most of the cults today are based somewhere in their past on a distrust of God. Let's do this ourselves. Here in the Word, I want to read you some verses that are just so powerful. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Then said the Lord to me, 'You have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it.'" Did you know that God is such a God of his word that he is watching over it? He is aware night and day. God doesn't sleep. And what's he watching? He's making sure that the word that he has promised, what he has spoken, that it is going to be true. It is going to happen. And so many people think, well, where is God gone? Why is God silent? I don't even bother reading books like that. They don't even know the word of God. It is saying here that God is alert. He's active 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, 52 weeks a year, century after century, thousands of years after thousands of years, God is alert. He is active. He is watching. And what is he about to perform? The promises that he has made. People who will believe his promises, he is there to make sure it happens. In Psalms 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Hey, who are you going to trust today? Who is it that you can look to and think, well, I'm trusting my government job. I'm trusting the prime minister. I'm trusting my doctor. I'm trusting my spouse. I'm trusting, you know what? People let us down in every area. But there is one person who will never let you down, and that is God. Yet we try to make God look like he's like the rest of us. His word, well, maybe, maybe not. He might change his mind. He's kind of fickle, just like the Greek gods and how those attitudes slipped into the Bible literally 2,000 years ago. It says, "Forever," in Psalms 119:99, "O Lord, is your word settled." In Numbers 23 and verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent," or change his mind is what the word repent means. "Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" As a young man, I had to make a decision. Am I going to make my own way, or am I going to trust God and work in this partnership with God? And so many things, you know, pastors, preachers, evangelists, people, this world is filled with stories of where God has let somebody down. I prayed and I believed and it didn't happen. And all of us have had things that have happened to us. I've lost people I love. Things I thought I was believing for disappeared. We all live in a real world where trouble happens. But the second you begin to hold it to God's account that God is not as good as his word, he's not going to be who he says he is, you are in the most dangerous ground as a believer, because nothing is going to work in your life if you allow the enemy of your souls to make you distrust God's word, God's character. It's forever settled. He is a God of his word. In 1 Kings 8:56, King Solomon has been praying. He's standing in front of the whole country praying. Wish some of our leaders would do that. And then he makes this line when he gets done praying to his nation, and he says, "Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant, to us." King Solomon recognized that God will keep his word, that God is alive, he is active, he is alert, he's looking. The Bible says his eyes roam to and fro. There's an incredible verse here in 2 Chronicles, and it talks about his eyes. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on someone who will believe." In the Old Testament, they had to be obedient to each individual promise had an if. In the New Covenant, Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus has made a way. Jesus has qualified us for every promise. The New Testament says that every promise in the Bible is yes and amen. Every time you read the Bible, you need to be convinced. You don't let the enemy come in and take the word out that you've read and that you've begun to study. Because what he wants to do is question God's word. When he appeared before Eve, he didn't take God on and say, "Well, God's a liar, God's a this." All he did was ask a few direct questions. Did God really say? He even changed what God told her. "Yeah, I know you can't touch it. God said not eat it." He was messing with her head. And he wanted her to know that, boy, if she eats that fruit, just forget God for a minute, you are going to become better. He is teaching Eve that your life will be better if you stop depending on God. You make the decisions. You decide where you're going and how you're doing it. And right there in the garden is where iniquity, where this evil that is at the foundation of so much on this world, find your own way, make your own way, make your own decisions. For Christians, get enough salvation to get to heaven, escape hell. Don't trust God with your sex life. Don't trust God with your money. Don't trust God with your future, because you could probably look after it better yourself. And the enemy keeps you limited because you're not believing the word of God. Did you know, according to the Bible, that when Satan comes against your life, there's one reason I can find that he's attacking you. And it shares this in Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, where Jesus is teaching us. And he says that when the word of God, you hear it, and it begins to be planted in your heart, because it's a process. It says Satan comes immediately, and he takes away the word that was sown in your heart. I want you to know something. He does not want you coming to church, not a life-giving church. He does not want you reading your Bible. He wants you going, "Oh, I just don't understand it." He doesn't want you reading a great teaching book, hanging out with believers who are always going to give you an answer that's, "Come on, let's rise up and keep going." I was talking to a family one time, and they said, "You know, we got to find another church." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll help you, but is there anything I should know about? Is there anything I've done wrong?" "No, we just can't relax in this church. You always seem to be preaching messages that we have to change." I said, "Let me help you find another church." What is it about people that they have no faith or no believing, no vision that looks ahead and says, according to the word of God, God and I can do incredible things, amazing stuff? They don't even want to look at his word. They've had a loss. They've had a failure. Someone told them, well, God took your loved one because he needed another flower in God's flower bed in heaven. Baloney. Well, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is so out of context, but there are so many doctrines in the Church of Jesus Christ today that erode faith. You've got some. I've got some. Every time we go to believe God, things we've heard said by our parents on television or in situations, you know, when someone you've trusted has said something, or you read it in the Bible and didn't understand its context, you know, who said it, in what situation, who's he saying it to? Because the Bible repeats and tells stories of people in absolute failure. So if you're listening to somebody in the middle of a storm in the Bible, they could be saying things that aren't principles of God, but they're true because it's what that person was saying in the pit, saying in the midst of all their heartache and brokenness. And it doesn't mean that it is a principle for you to live by. God's not taking away stuff from you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. I'm giving you life and more abundantly. God is looking after his word to perform it. His word is settled in heaven. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not like people. He doesn't promise you something, oops, I changed my mind. King Solomon tells us that. Peter literally says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Do you want to know what another lie is after you can't trust God? Oh, he'll do it for so-and-so. You'd be surprised how many people will tell me, well, Leon, it works for you. I'm going, what does that mean? Oh, you know, and they don't know where to go with that. But what they're saying is, God's given me more. God has, treated me a little more special than anybody else. Peter is saying very clearly here that God is no respecter of one person for another. He does not promise one person more and take away from another one. No respecter. It is equal across the board. And every family's, if you got kids, you know, they go through a season where they're convinced that they're not the favorite, but you treat their brother better. Or, oh, you just like my sister more than me. And people get that way. Full-grown people feel like, well, I wish I could be, and then it's like whoever their favorite person is, Billy Graham or man. And you don't understand, nobody started higher. Nobody got more. Everybody has the same promises, the same Jesus, the same anointing that is in Jesus is in you, the same promises, the same measure of faith, the same Holy Spirit. When you see someone begin to work out that process and grow in the word, and as they begin to read promise after promise, they literally begin to, on the inside, get up and go, I'm going to trust God. When I was a kid, we would make different promises. Like, if you're trying to convince somebody, you know, you'd say, well, I swear on my father's grave, or, well, I swear on the head of my children, or a lot of people, and you can find oaths in the Bible where people swore on things. The Bible says now in this new covenant, we're not to swear on anything. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 to 20, it says, when swearing an oath to confirm what they are saying, humans swear by someone greater than themselves, and so bring their arguments to an end. In the same way, when God wanted to confirm his promise to as true and unchangeable, he swore an oath to the heirs of that promise. So God has given us two unchanging things, his promise and his oath. These prove that it is impossible for God to lie. When we look at what he's prepared for you, what the word says about you, this new covenant that we have that is different than the old covenant, what Jesus has accomplished, how it's settled, the cross changed things. It's saying here that the promises of God, when God makes a promise, it's never going to get changed. But there's a second thing you need to know. He's even sworn an oath. I mean, you go through the word, you're going to find verses like heaven and earth will pass away before my word is going to fail to you. We're living in a day where the world's going to just get crazier. Okay? I mean, you may as well get used to it. You know, in Canada, we've been fairly safe and we're probably better than a lot. But depending on where you are a Christian, whether it's in Syria, Russia, China, wherever you're watching this, because it's literally around the world, and how you pray and how you look, the world is a crazy place. Satan is the god of this world. He's at work behind the scenes with governments and leaders, and Christians need to rise up and be the salt and the light. We need to rise up and make some changes, absolutely. But you're never going to make things or get through this life unless you know the promises of God. You know what has been given you, what has been won on the cross, and you believe this. It's with all of your heart. I believe this. God made a promise. He doesn't lie. He doesn't change. He's not a man. He's not going to do that. He's given an oath. He has sworn by his own name. If I said it, I'll do it. You and I need to understand something, that this Christian life, after Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16 to 20, it says, as a result, we who come to God for refuge might be encouraged to seize that hope that is set before us. That hope is real and true, an anchor to steady our restless souls. You are only going to be able to settle your soul down and these emotions and fears and troubling thoughts and attacks of the enemy, and there's thoughts that come and attack your mind. He's trying to get you double-minded, trying to get you unstable, trying to get you to lose your hope, trying to get you off of your faith, because your faith produces here on this planet. This is the victory, 1 John 5:4 says, that overcomes the world, even our faith. There is a hope that you get established in when you begin to believe the word of God and you stop going, well, I sure hope so. Someone asked me to pray with them and for something, and I actually have gotten this for like 40 years from people. They'll say, could we pray together? I need a miracle from God. And when they begin to pray, they'll go like this. They'll always have this little line somewhere. It's the most defeating line to most Christian prayers. And they'll end by saying, and Lord, if it be thy will, I sure would like to get healed. And Lord, if it would be your will, I sure would like this. I'm going, oh, stop. The prayer of consecration, which is when Jesus said, if it be your will, that is the only time it is used in prayer, is when the Bible does not tell you what God's will is. So if you got a job opportunity in Vancouver or in Seattle, there's no verse in the Bible. There, you could look at all the things. They both have great stuff here, great stuff there. And so how do I know? Well, Lord, what's your will here? Guide me in what's a great decision. You know, what is your will? What should I do? That's a great time to pray it. But in every other case, you don't have faith until you know the will of God. So God's word is his will. Why do we have a problem with that? If I say to you, hey, I promise you, man, at 2:30 today, I'm doing lunch with some friends. And you say, I wonder what Leon's will is for today, lunchtime. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I know he made a promise that he has getting together with some friends, but I wonder what his will is. We've taken the Bible, and it's just crazy. If someone promises something, that's their will. So when God gives us a promise, then it's his will. When it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who heals all your diseases. Psalms 103, verses 1 to 7. And you go, I wonder what God's will is about my sickness. Yeah, gee, I don't know. You must have been listening to a lot of rotten preaching to not even know if it's God's will to heal. It is always God's will to heal. Well, you know, we're just praying and hoping, Lord, if it be thy will, that this business that we're getting into, if it be your will, it would just rise up and do well. Listen to me. The Bible says and promises that wealth is not a problem with God. Covetousness is a problem with God. Money's not a problem with God. Loving money is a problem with God. Putting money first in your life. You know, beginning to cheat people and try to get there quick. There's a lot of great teaching on money, and it's all about how to succeed. But some Christian will go, well, we started the business. We sunk our life savings into it, and just pray with us. Lord, if it be your will, we're sure hoping and praying that this thing will prosper. Listen, you don't have faith. You are not in faith till you know God's will. So don't pray. Go into God's word and find out what he promised. Because whatever he's promised, he's not only promised, he's sworn an oath that it is going to work. So what's our part in this new covenant? It's to believe his promises. To believe. When you take a look at the children of Israel, Psalm 78 and Hebrews and different scriptures gives us a real insight into them coming out of Egypt as slaves and moving towards Canaan, where it was going to become one of the wealthiest, most successful countries in the world. And when they didn't go in at first, and the older people over 20 never did see it. Someone would probably say, well, you know, but God gave his word. No, there he gave his word with a condition. And they wouldn't believe. It says that the reason they didn't walk into the promised land is because they limited God, didn't believe his promises. In fact, the people over 20 didn't even try. They said, let's go back to Egypt where we can have soup and a little protection. And they wanted to kill Moses and kill Joshua and Caleb and go back. Did you know that when you don't believe God's word, it affects what you reach for in life? You know, God could be guiding you to something that you could be doing in business and politics and arts and family. You know, times are crazy. I think we better just play really safe. Well, if God guides you there, then yes, if this is a season where he's saying batten down the hatches, then great. But the only way you are going to know for you is that you need to listen to Holy Spirit. The reason for church, the reason we've got you here and we're saying Springs is about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Most Christians today are looking around for a prophetic word. Would somebody prophesy? Is my business going to work? Would someone let me know I'm engaged? Is she the one? Oh, I'm sure hoping so. But if someone would give me a word from God. Listen, in the Old Testament, prophets would guide the lives of people. In the New Testament, the Bible says that every born-again believer is led by the Spirit of God within them. God speaks to you by yourself. So you got to get in God's Word and know His Word. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know how to hear His voice. Because if you don't, there's not a prophet on the planet that can tell you every day what to invest and who to marry, what house to buy, what you should do with this problem. You got an in-law problem, got an outlaw problem, got a taxation problem, got a health problem, got a marriage problem, got a kid problem, got a generational problem. I need a prophet of God to give me a word. You're in the wrong covenant. That's all over. Oh, God might use for a baby Christian here or there, or someone who's struggling, you know, and give them some encouragement, and someone will give them a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that'll help them through that. But he's not going to spend the rest of his life giving you dreams and visions and a new angel every day and a fleece that you can. He says that he will speak to your heart. That still small voice, that inward witness will never be wrong. Go by that gut feeling if you're a born-again believer and recognize that God will always guide you, lead you. Holy Spirit is going to show you things to come, going to remind you of the things that God has said. 2 Chronicles 16 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are right. What does he mean by that? Well, when you're born again, your heart is washed clean. You're a brand new creation. And Jesus, if you believe on Jesus, has qualified you for every promise. You don't even disqualify yourself. Jesus qualifies you. And you need to believe it. One thing to do, believe the word of God, and your life is going to begin to change like you've never seen it before. Get rid of all the crazy books you picked up that say, well, why God is silent and why God doesn't heal, 25 reasons, and why, you know, prosperity's not for today, and why to look out for anybody that says God's going to help you be successful. I'm going, are you kidding me? It's like I always tell people, they'll ask me, hey, you know, if we come to Springs, I just got to ask you one question. Are you a wealth or a prosperity and healing church? And I understand there's people who've gone way over the deep end with some of that stuff, but I kind of smile and say, oh no, we teach sickness and poverty. Why don't you come? It's a crazy thought. God's word filled with promises. God's word showing you and I how to handle every situation. And regardless of the way the markets are, regardless of the way viruses are, regardless of the way sickness and disease is, regardless of the storms that affects everybody else around you, the promises to you are different. And it says in Psalms 91, even if you happen to look and see 1,000 down on one side, and then you turn around and go, oh no, 10,000 on my right side. It's not coming near you. Just hang on to his promise. God keeps his promises. Do you know his promises? Do you spend time in the word? Because Romans 10:17 says this faith that you need to believe him in these situations, it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. It doesn't come from listening to CNN, constant negative news. It doesn't come from your friend who's an expert on all things medical, herbal, and everything else. It doesn't come from your friend who understands all business and banking, and he's your expert. Who are you putting your trust in? I'll never forget when Sally and I knew that God had called us to Springs Church in Winnipeg. 26 more years ago. 7 pastors, friends of mine, all pastoring here in Winnipeg, got around me to pray over me one day at a camp that I was speaking at, and they'd heard that I was coming into Winnipeg, and one gave me a word from God and said, this is not God's best for your life. He didn't call you to Springs, but it'll be a learning time for you, and the next church you go to, God will bless. Now, I got a choice. I can bow to that because I did not sense that was God. That was just human flesh. In fact, I think some of the things people say and prophesy, in fact, I know, I've been there, I think many of them are demonic in origin, where wonderful, good-meaning people listen to the enemy and repeat what he's saying. Peter, in one breath in the same chapter, goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my spirit, I'm going to build my church on that revelation. Then in the same chapter, Jesus is talking about going to the cross. And Peter says, no way, not so. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Did you know that people that you trust and love, one minute can be tuned into God and the next minute tuned into a familiar spirit or a wrong voice? I've seen it all the time. So Leon, what am I going to do? Hear him for yourself. Hear him for yourself. You know how many people that the enemy has taken out of your life because some friend told them what you said and what you meant? That's why whisperers separate chief friends. You know, if you see a friend acting funny around you and you haven't done anything, you got to know some other friend has had a conversation with them about you and interpreted what you meant, what you said, or outright lied about you. So never, ever let things destroy your relationships, your friendships, your marriages between you and your church, you and your pastor, until you go talk to the person for yourself. Why are we so interested? Inquiring minds want to know who's gossiping, who said this, and they don't lie. They said this, they said that. I've always learned when it comes to me and God, I don't care what all the prophets say. One time, this is a while ago, I was in a service, and this man of God looks at me and said, well, there's Leon Fontaine in the service today. Leon, the Lord has a word for you. You are to move to Mexico, and you are going to head up a new hospital in Mexico. Do you receive this word from the Lord, Leon? I'm sitting in a whole meeting full of pastors. You know what I said? Well, you know me. No. No, you be obedient to God's word. Oh, I am, and I am where God's called me. So, nope, sorry. No, this doesn't witness with your spirit? Nope, doesn't witness with my spirit. See, I don't care who prophesies what over me. I don't care who sends me letters, who knocks me down, who tells me I'm proud, who tells me I'm this, because I know who I am. I know who my God is. Why do I need someone else to interpret my life, interpret me, interpret who I am? Connect to God for yourself. I'm telling you, your life will change. You'll see the goodness of God begin to flow in your life. Stop looking around at the crowd and going, do you like me? Am I good? Do you believe in me? I don't care if you believe in me. Well, Leon, that's kind of mean. No, you need to get this way. I don't care what men think and say about me. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare that will stop all the things that God has called you to. I believe God's word. And I believe that Jesus and me, we are a majority. I believe that if he said it, he'll keep it. I choose to believe it. And I am going to rout out all misbeliefs, all double-mindedness that makes me unstable in all my ways. I'm cleaning it up. I'm staying focused on the word. I want to know what God's intentions, what God's promises, what are the oaths that he has sworn to me and said, Leon, here's your future for your kids, your grandkids, for Springs, for Miracle Channel, for Springs Christian Academy, for the future of Canada, for the future of the churches, all that he's speaking to us about. And I go, that's it. Amen, God. Let's go as a church and let's go do great things for God. I got to close there, but I want to say something to you. You've got some choices. You can stay immature. You know, my dad passed away in this parking lot a number of years ago. I happened to drive back just as they were pulling his body out. The paramedics attended our church. The doctor at the hospital came to our church. I know they tried hard and long, but he went to be with Jesus. And my entire life changed. Because in a way, I would always have him there to help me make decisions. I'd always have him there as my Linus blanket. And I'd always, you know, run up by him. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm just trying to tell you something. And in life, as you grow up, the Bible says, leave your father and mother, cleave to your wife, look to God. And even when it comes to things your daddy never taught you, your mommy never taught you, the Bible says that God is the God to the fatherless. Or if there's something your father didn't know how to teach you, then God is the God to the fatherless areas of your life. Some of you men who just don't feel like you've been, you know, you're missing something, go to the word of God and God will take his word and heal the fatherless areas of your life. For the women that are here, they would say, you know, no one's ever told me I'm beautiful. I'm always struggling with this or my identity or my looks. And by the way, every magazine and every commercial on TV is focused on you, ladies, to make you feel like there's always a problem here, a problem there. And you need to make a decision. Okay, I don't need to know, does my dad think I'm beautiful? Does these people think I'm beautiful? Where am I in number in this room? You just decide one day, God is in love with me. He's made a great plan for my life. I'm going to do my best to present myself, you know, smelling good, looking good, dressing good, acting good, talking good. And other than that, me and God are going to go do great things. This is for the children of God. He's never going back on his word. He's never going back on his promises. Some of you need to listen to this for the next 30 days, three times a day, and get this ground into that doubtful mind and that tumble-minded head and go, I'm going to believe God. I'm telling you, he's so in love with you, and your future is so planned amazingly. Well, I got to give you this last verse, and I'm going to sit down. Psalms 139. It says, you created my whole being, my inward parts. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me an amazing, awesome, and in a wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed when I was hidden from you, being shaped in my mother's body. When I was put together in the depths of the earth, you, your eyes, saw my body as it was formed. And all the days planned for me. formed for me are written in your book before I was even one day old. And not one of those days have existed yet. But God, your thoughts are precious to me. They are so many. How vast are their sum if I could count them? They would be more than the grains of sand. And when I wake up or come to an end, I'm still with you. It is saying here, while you were in your mama's belly, when you were just a twinkle in your daddy's eye, God knew you were coming. And in his book, every day of your life, he's got something written. And every day is all good. There's no bad biographies written for you. And if you say, well, I wonder if this is, am I done? Is my life over now? Hey, if you're breathing, God's got a plan. How many? More than the sands of the sea are the great things he's planned for you. And that's before you get to heaven. Father, I pray today that you'd touch each person here in a very special way. I pray that we'd make a decision today. No more listening to Uncle Crazy or Auntie Critical. No more listening to expert friend and demonic thoughts. I'm looking into your word. I'm going to believe every promise. Father, I pray that you touch them, that today a decisive decision is being made and the future is going to be changed forever because of what we believe and who we trust. In Jesus' name. For those who are watching today, if you don't know this Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to lead you in a prayer because only you can make the decision. God is not allowed in your life till you invite him in and believe on him. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you for dying for me. I'm following you the rest of my days. I accept your gift of salvation, being born again with a fresh start. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. He's in love with you. You just started the greatest journey of your life.